Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions 2023 season. We look at some of our favorite moments and experiences. We'll discuss the NFC North title, along with the Lions' first playoff win since the 1991 season, when they defeated a returning Matthew Stafford with the LA Rams. We'll take you through the divisional round win and all the way to the NFC Championship game on the West Coast, finishing up with what's next for this team. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jason Gabenda with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also a mentor of numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Great to have you here, Coach.
Oh, great to be here talking about the Lions again.
It's good to be doing another episode. Wish we were doing another preview episode, but instead, we're doing a review episode. We're reviewing the season and wrapping everything up. It's still going to be a fun thing to do, though. It was a great season.
For sure.
So, Coach, I got to ask you, do you recall your numbers, the season predictions we made way back when? Do you happen to remember what you said or what you put down on tape?
Well, I think I felt that we were going to win 12. I didn't predict a lot, but things in the back of my mind, things that you and I talked off air. I did feel that we were going to win the North. And my other feeling was I felt we would win at least one playoff game.
Nice. Yeah. I remember what I said, and that's because, I was kind of accurate with what I said. So whenever that happens, people tend to remember better. And, I guess I did remember well. I said they'd be 11-6. I said that as soon as the opponents were released. I didn't even have the exact schedule yet. I just knew who we were playing. And I stayed at that number until the bye week. We were 8-2 at the bye week. And I made an adjustment. I went up one game. And I went to 12-5. And that's where they finished. So I felt really good about that prediction I made. I also made another prediction that the other three teams in our division would finish within two games of each other. With the Packers being 9-8 and Chicago and Minnesota being 7-10, I hit that one too. So I felt really good about that. And as I often say, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And there might have been some luck with that. But that was the prediction. So let's take it through the season chunk by chunk. Let's look at that first quarter. The Detroit Lions started 3-1. They opened with a win in Kansas City. They had an overtime loss at Seattle. They also had a game to remember in Lambeau. What are some of the things that stuck out to you in that first quarter of the season?
Well, I think we talked about it. We were pushing for that 3-1 because we back of our minds were thinking, man, can we go into Kansas City and beat them? And we did that. The second game against Seattle is the one that really stuck out on my mind. I just did not feel or fear that we would lose to that team. Just because I thought, it was kind of a payback or revenge. We lost them the year before. I thought that we would, justify or, be able to stop any bit with the quarterback running and things like that. Then the other two, those were kind of ones that we knew that knew or felt that we'd have a pretty good shot at. So 3-1 after the Kansas City, it stuck out like, whoa, we might go 4-0, but let's get, you know, of course we always said, let's get to 1-0 the next week.
Well, for sure. And, you know, I think that Kansas City game was the biggest one for me because for months, ever since beating the Packers in Lambeau, the hype train had been growing. It had been going downhill. It's like a snowball that just started small and got really big. And we're like, okay, what's going to happen? And the Lions showed up. They played. Dan Campbell coached with a fake punt, I believe it was, on their own side of the field, inside the 30 or something. And they got it. And so, and then Branch with the interception. I mean, that Kansas City game showed we were legit. And it took some pressure off, I felt, from the nerves that the fans were having. I can't speak to the player standpoint, but from us fans, it was like, are we setting ourselves up for you know, disaster and you know, a big letdown? Or what's it going to look like? And we were hoping that we were right, but you never know until you actually see it on the field. And you said it, the Kansas City game, and then that game in Lambeau against the Packers this year, where we had one of the most dominating first halves of football I've ever seen, that just showed you how good the Detroit Lions had become.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and again, I go back to the Kansas City game. Of course, there's a lot of naysayers because, you know, Kelce wasn't there and that really terrible D tackle they had wasn't there. But you still went into Kansas City and won a football game when they were raising the banner. I mean, it's still huge, and Kansas City is a tough place to play. So, you know, that kind of did set us up for, we knew we were going to be in pretty good shape, hopefully, for the rest of the year.
So at 3-1, we have four more games, and the Lions go 3-1 again. They head into the bye at 3-1. Now, they blew out Carolina. They got blown out in Baltimore. They had the Raiders game on Monday night. They got that nice win there, and that was Lomas Brown being celebrated. Oh, they also had a tough win on the road against Tampa in that point. So what are some of your memories, your takeaways from that four-game segment there?
Well, the Baltimore game, because you and I were there for one. I was there with my nephews and my best friend, and you know, that, and you know, saw TJ, my buddy that coaches with the Ravens, and you know, we had those sideline passes and things like that. You know, it was kind of one of those things we checked off the bucket list, watching a football game in that stadium, because I've heard so much about it from, you know, from the people that I know. And the loss, as bad as it seemed after you watched it, we talked about it, it didn't seem as bad with, you know, a missed route, a drop pass. You know, the Ravens were good. They steamrolled us in that situation, you know? And so, you know, that was a good one, but you know, from there, then you had the games on the road that we did a good job with. And I think those were big things that kind of told us that, you know, this is a pretty good football team and they're going to come to play every week and they're never not going to be out of a game. And I think that's when it started, in my mind, that we can play with anybody, you know, even though the Ravens game, we were there and I watched it when I got home and thought we can play with anybody from that standpoint.
Yeah. You and I were in agreement with that Ravens game and the fact that it was not as bad as the score ended being. I mean, again, two or three things go differently and it's a very different scenario, but we also thought, hey, we still have a really good team here, even though that game went so sideways so quickly. And, you know, the end of that four-game package, that quarter of the season, the Lions were playing the Raiders on Monday night, and they didn't play mistake-free football, but you never felt like the Lions were going to lose that game. And it was like, this is a different feeling. How many times have you watched a Lions game and you're just comfortable thinking, we're going to win this game? And that was happening in the middle of this season. Oh, and by the way, Lomas Brown was honored and added to the pride of the Lions. And that was a pretty awesome thing to see to a very deserving person.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, anytime you can honor those guys, especially guys that were in that past team that won a playoff game and for everything that he's done for our community and stuff like that. And, you know, and again, the energy level in Ford Field because of that and because of what the Lions were able to do, you know, and again, you go back to them winning that tight game in Kansas City. That's why you start to feel there's not a team that, you know, are going to take us over, or, oh my God, we're going to lose this game. Oh, we're going to turn back into that same old Lions thing. And, you know, it just kept building with the confidence for us, you know, as fans and as well as doing this podcast, that this is a pretty good football team.
For sure. And that left the Lions at 6-2 going into the bye. And we were thrilled to have that. And so over the next five games, because there's an odd number of games now, the Lions went 3-2. They had a really big win against the Chargers. They had an incredible comeback win against the Bears. But there was that loss on Thanksgiving to Green Bay with the turnovers and the loss on the road to Chicago. The Lions were sitting at 9-4, which is a pretty darn good record. But, man, a lot of people were getting skittish on the Lions. They're losing the turnover game, giving up more points. That led to some of those things. What were your thoughts? What are some of the things you remember from that time period?
Well, exactly. I mean, Thanksgiving, again, we're just losing on Thanksgiving. Just you get so excited about it and so fired up about it. And we lost, you know, and we lost the Packers. And it's so hard to beat a team twice in a season. You know, that it all comes back to that. But again, we, you know, you and I talked about, we never lost two games in a row all season. I mean, I don't know how many teams can say that. You know, the 49ers in the Super Bowl, they lost three in a row at one point. And, you know, you always talk about, you have that 2-3 game skid where you get really nervous. And you go, oh, my God, is the season falling apart? But in that terrible, real bad skid part, we were 2-1. We were 2-1. And, I, you know, you and I talked about it. I was, you know, for me, from a coaching standpoint, I'm looking at it going, that was our, that's as bad as it's going to get. And we were 2-1. So I think those are the things out of that five game, you know, that 3-2 record out of that five game was, you know, we're still 3-2. Even if you talk about those five games, we're still 3-2. We're still above 500. We came into that stretch at 6-2. So like you went back and said, we were 9-4, and what's going to happen the rest of the season, you know, the comeback, there's just a ton of lessons with amongst those five games that carried us into the NFC. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's what coaching's all about. And that's what a team developing is all about.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't talk about the big Jameson Williams catch against Tampa. That was a big, big boost there. When the Lions didn't have much of a running game due to Gibbs being out with an injury and Montgomery getting injured. But during this 3-2 thing, the Lions put up a ton of points against the Chargers, and David Montgomery had like a 75-yard touchdown run. And you saw elements of the offense starting to blossom. You also saw the defense having more of its identity formed in the fact that they were really becoming a run-stopping defense. But at the same time, teams were putting up more yards on the back half of it by passing. And so even though that was happening, the Lions had a winning record, 3-2 over that five-game period. And coming out of that, you and I had a great conversation, and we talked about how the Lions needed to finish the season. And you said it best on the show. You said, we need to drive into the playoffs and not back in. And that was so perfectly said. And that's exactly what they did. They went 3-1 to finish the season at 12-5. We had a blowout win over Denver. We had two wins over Minnesota, and that infamous Dallas game in between that. And so that ending of our season really could not have been much better.
Oh, for sure. You know, let's go back to Denver again. You know, and you heard Coach Campbell say in the playoffs, Denver came in, and a hot team came in, and we beat another hot team. We knocked the hot team off. We went into Dallas, who's been scoring 40 points a game, who's undefeated, and we didn't drive in there, right? We did drive in there, right? We drove in there with a semi or with a big F-350 and just ran people over. And people started going, this team is for real. And I think those were the things where all our identity started coming up. That's when the defense held them to 20. That's when the defense started not giving up red zone scores. That's when the defense started turning the things around, you know, and it's been a season of streaks for them. But it was always every one of those streaks was another part of the team that developed to help us get to where we got to at the end of the year.
Oh, for sure. And that turnover thing, that was a big part of it, because the offense started limiting theirs more and the defense started coming up with them, which was, you know, complete opposite of what had been going on. And finishing 12-5, it set up that home playoff game against the Rams. And perhaps a team no one wanted to see just based on how hot they were and with Stafford being their guy. I mean, every Lions fan said, we just wanted to win a playoff game. The first one since January of 92. And we didn't care who it was against. You just want that playoff win. And it would have been really rough if we didn't get it because of who it came against. But we got it, and it made it that much sweeter, and it showed how much more tough our team was. And with Goff and Reynolds and others getting something extra out of it, it really showed how much growth this team had had in the last, not just this year, but in the last 3 years under Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hype train, talk about a hype train with the Rams coming in. Talk about all the outside noises. You know, hey, you won the division. Hey, we're hosting a playoff. That's enough with all these young guys we have. You know, that's enough. It's on the high school level, the Pop Warner level, any of those levels. That hype train starts going, and all these, oh, my God, you guys are good. Oh, my God, Goff's got to go against his former team. Oh, my God, Stafford's coming in. Stafford, we love. You know, we love. I still love. I root for him every day. The only day I didn't root for him was that day. And so for them to turn around and do what they did in that game, you started going, okay, we got our first playoff victory against probably the hardest opponent we could have gone against. It could have been against anybody else. And it wouldn't have been as stressful as it had to be for that staff and for those players. And as fans, it was stressful for us. You and I talked about who we want to play Seattle. We want to play the Rams. You know, we talked to Lomas after that game. And what did Lomas say to us? Right. When he's on the sidelines, the exact sentiment. I don't want that Rams team coming in here. I don't want coming in. Right. I mean, you and I were laughing, talking to Lomas Brown about that, because he knew what that was going to bring to that locker room, to our city, and to what we were going to do. And you know what? We rallied as fans, and we rallied as a team. And that identified, you know, I know Big Low afterwards was like, sure glad that one's over with. Who do we go to next?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that was a great conversation with him. That was after the Minnesota game at the end of the regular season. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I think he was saying what we all thought was, we just want to let that one be, welcome him back here next year during the regular season and celebrate what he did for us then. But we don't want any of that coming in. And heck, you know, even though the Lions were favored in that game, like everybody on, I believe it was NFL Live, they all took the Rams to win that game. So many teams and so many people, pundits, were picking against the Lions, and the Lions got the job done. And so that made it just that much sweeter, if you will. The big thing was it turned a page. It started turning a page. Maybe it turned a page, and it got us close to closing that chapter. And what would happen next would help close that chapter. And that was the unexpected. The Lions got to host a second home playoff game. Now, Dallas losing unexpectedly to Green Bay gave the Lions that, which, as you know, I think somebody else quoted, Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie or something like that. And I think we know how that two-point conversion was supposed to go now, because Dallas lost to Green Bay and we got our home game. And so that was awesome. It was awesome for multiple reasons. One is, the city of Detroit benefited. I thought I read like almost $20 million came into the city because of that. And that's awesome to see as well. And so we got to face another team, and it was another hot team coming in. And that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team we had faced before, but they were much different at this point, with Baker Mayfield playing some of the best football of his career. And that was phenomenal to play a divisional playoff game and win that as well.
Oh, I know. And that's, you know, again, beating a team for the second time in the year. They were different. We were different. We didn't have our run game. You know, Baker was just getting into his own and stuff like that. And I think that was, you know, another one of those things that, you know, when you face a Stafford and you face a Baker Mayfield, who both guys are coming in hot, both guys just make plays, unorthodox plays. You know, Baker Mayfield is one of the biggest competitors there is in the world. So is Stafford. And those guys scare you because you don't know what's going to happen with them. It's like a Lamar Jackson concept. You just don't know what's going to happen facing those guys. And for us to do what we did against that team coming in, another hot team. And like, I don't know if you saw it last week, but they asked Baker if he's been working for the Pro Bowl, working out, getting loosened up. He said, hey, the last – the last pass I threw was a completion to Barnes. So that's, but that's Baker Mayfield. How can you not love that guy? And just, again, we won that, the biggest tension and all the outside noise with was the Rams game. And we got over that hump and I felt really, really good about the Tampa game just because of that situation. I wasn't as nervous, of course, as I was with the Rams game and we got spoiled then. Now we all said we're going to Super Bowl and then we know what happens, but we as fans were like, oh my God, they're going to win it all this year. Well, we got to learn to get to that place. You got to learn to win, you know, and that's what happened.
Well, you're right with that Rams game. As soon as I knew we were playing them, I was nervous, but the Tampa game was different. Once we knew we were playing them and we had the home game, I wasn't nervous, but every day that got closer, the nervousness started creeping up just because I knew what it meant if we won. And that would mean we were going to the NFC Championship game. And, you know, we were close to hosting it because the Packers almost beat the 49ers, but they didn't. In the NFC Championship game, the Lions fell 3 points short in that one, Coach. They had a 17-point lead at the half, but things did not go their way in the second half. A dropped fourth down play, a fortuitous bounce and catch on a 51-yard pass, a fumble. And before you knew it, the whole game had changed and other things happened as well. But it doesn't change the fact that the Lions made it to the NFC Championship game. They went toe-to-toe with the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. And as I said in our post game, I felt like we just ran out of time. We weren't pounded into the ground by the opponent. They were not superior to us. Yes, at the end of the game, they had more points, and therefore they do get the victory. But you play that game again, you're not guaranteed the same outcome. And so that is a huge step forward. We made it to the NFC Championship game, and we competed. The last time the Lions were in the NFC Championship game, it really wasn't much of a competition.
No, they got blown out in that game. That's for sure. And, you know, and you're right about that. I mean, we have to, you know, you have to take that game into what it was. And what it was us getting to somewhere where we haven't been for in 30 years. It was us winning a league championship. It was us hosting two playoff games. It was us getting to somewhere where none of us at the beginning of the year had even thought was possible. Or we thought in the back of our minds, maybe. And as the season went on, it got to that point. And then it got into that. We got to that NFC Championship game. Hey, Pittsburgh Steelers won a Super Bowl because of a pass that bounced off a guy's head and Franco Harris caught it and ran in for a touchdown called the Immaculate Reception. As soon as that one happened against us, me, I'm going, oh boy, this does not look good. You know, and it's not. It's fumbles. It's drop passes. It's missed assignments. It's a ball bouncing off. It's not sacking Brock Purdy three times. He runs for three first downs. You know, there's a ton of things that went into that. And like Coach Campbell said, we couldn't get over the hump. We couldn't, you know, we had games in the past where things were going bad, but eventually we stymied them, whether it was we had a big run, you know, a big offensive series or a big play in the red zone, which is what we just did a great job through the playoffs and at the end of the year, winning the red zone battle, you know, scoring seven, they're scoring three. But those are just things that it just kept steamrolling, kept unraveling. And, you know, you have to look at the 49ers. The 49ers should have, could have, maybe won the Super Bowl last year. But what happened to them? Brock Purdy got hurt. They finished the game without a quarterback. So that was their time last year. This was our time this year, suffering in a critical situation. You have to go through the whole year and get ready and try to get ready for the next time you play. Right. I mean, so if you take all those things in consideration, the naysayers, don't be naysayers. If you don't want, if you're on the train, stay on it. Don't jump on and jump off. Okay. Lions are for real, man. And I am so excited and happy for them. And we can talk about what's been going on with that. But so that's what that game was all about. You know, it was, hey, we got to somewhere we weren't sure we were going to get. I know that locker room knew they were going to get there. And it's just fuel for the fire for the next 360-some days, right?
Exactly. And I think Coach Campbell summed it up really well in his press conference the day after. And he said, we've had it at times where one part of our team has struggled, but then when they're struggling, the other part has been able to pick it up and kind of bail the other one out. And what happened was the offense went down, the defense went down, the special teams went down, all kind of at the same time. It was a perfect storm, if you will, of things that didn't go their way. But it doesn't change the entire season. And so the day after, Coach Campbell was asked what he's going to remember most about this team.
I think what we talk about all the time, just how resilient they were, their ability to overcome, to go into a harsh environment and win big games and not get panicked. And just to see where they really came as a group, man, as a team, and to watch them lean on each other and how strong that bond got in there, which is important, man. Even in professional sports, it's still, that's a deal. That's a real thing. And the teams that can find that, they usually are going to have something special, and that's what we've got in that locker room. It is a special group.
Coach Campbell said it. You and I have believed in this all year, is that it is a special group. It is a certain type of player that the Lions look for, and it was a special season. And I think this special season, it doesn't just turn a page on some of the things in the Lions history. It closes a chapter. It's writing a new book. So many things changed in the 2023 season.
Oh, they did. And you know, from injuries to guys coming back to guys going back and forth off the practice squad, guys fighting for each other, guys I think they're down in Disney World riding roller coasters together, guys going out together, man, you just see something that, and I think one of the things that sticks out of my mind is when Monty during the season came flying off the field and he told Raymond, right? Sorry, right? The running back to score the touchdown.
Craig Reynolds.
And things like that, you watch that and you see that in the JMO stuff and you kind of go, man, these guys love each other, man. They're going to do anything they can for each other. You know, Sewell said the other day, you know, if Dan Campbell said to jump off a cliff, I'll be right next to him. You know, things like that, when you read that and see that and hear that, and read what's going on after this game. Yeah, they're hurting, you know, but they're going to, you know, Hutch had a great one yesterday at the Pro Bowl. And if you read that quote about just those things, when you look at it, what a special group of men that have ignited a city, that have brought back winning to a program that had not seen it over the years. And you know, it starts with the Fords, and it goes all the way down to Dan Campbell, down to the guy that's taking care of the water, down to the guy that's cleaning the locker room. They love each other, and it's going to be sad when we lose some of them, because it's, you know, it's just, that's the way the NFL is, but it, we'll have memories and great, great memories of each and every one of those individuals and what they brought to us this year as a team.
Well, let's move into the major storylines then throughout this season. And the first one was like the biggest one, because I think it started back in March of last year. And the question was by everybody, is Jared Goff good enough? And I, you know what? I'm going to start with Coach Campbell from a few weeks ago. Here's what he had to say.
See, I just go back to this all the time. I don't think, you know, for me, it'll always be, if you're an outsider, do you really understand just how resilient he is? I think sometimes that doesn't always, it's not always seen. His ability to bounce back from things that don't go well, I think, and I always felt this way about him. Now that I'm around him, you know, it's been 3 years and I felt this early. Man, he's at his best when his back's against the wall, you know? And now it hasn't been against the wall, but he's doing well, you know? And I just think that's something that has always impressed me, you know? And man, when it's things don't look good and this, and we're not moving the ball, or you have a couple of turnovers, and you feel like the world's kind of coming in on you, man, he's really at his best. He comes out of that because he can look at it and he can take the coaching and he can look at himself and say, well, yeah, that's because of my footwork. That's because of my It's simply that. It's not anything else. It's not, oh, well, he just can't play anymore. He's lost his mojo. No, it's my right foot. It's where I start with my eyes. It's my, you know. And I think that's crucial. I think that's, you know, he's very process oriented. And that's what pros do. That's how pros get better. That's how they play consistently.
So, Coach, I guess you and I got to go full circle on this one because we talked about this last year. There was offseason chatter about people wanting to trade him and all these different things about him not being good enough. And I get it. He can't scramble. He can't scramble that well. You know, his 40 time, I don't know what it is, but it's nothing to write home about. But he's a darn good quarterback. We've always thought that. He showed it all year. He showed it at times when there was no room for error. I keep bringing up that Chicago game when we somehow came back on the arm of Jared Goff. Some great catches by the receiver, some great protection by the offensive line. And that was just a crazy thing to see. And you saw it time and time again of him continually to work on things that didn't go well and correct it and right the ship versus just continue to spiral down.
Oh, yeah. He's a dog. I'm going to say he's a dog, period. The guy grinds. The guy wants to do everything. He learns from his mistakes. You don't ever see that mistake happening again. You may see it. You may see a mistake. You're not going to see it again. I'm telling you right now. And the thing is that he does is he can break down defenses so well. He knows where he's going with the ball. He knows who to look for and when to look for and why to look for him at any given time. He's just a smart quarterback. He throws the ball well. You know, he's got all the, everything is the social media and the experts are always trying to find something negative. You know, the Brock Purdy went through that. You know, last year, everybody loved Brock Purdy because he's Mr. Relevant. Then as this year went on, he sucks. He's not good. He's not good. Look what he's doing. And those guys, those are the guys that I like, the Baker Mayfields, the Jared Goffs, the Brock Purdy's, the guys that keep basically with their play telling the experts to shut up. And I just love it about Jared Goff. I sign him for 10 years. I'm going to be a fan, you know, sign him for five. I don't care. Sign him. And look at what the guys do around him. I don't know how vocal he is. They don't say he's not a real vocal leader, but man, they play for him. And there's not a guy on that team you see that's not pulling for him to be successful as well as the team. So he's a good one. We have a good one, and I'll take him over any quarterback in the NFL right now. I'm sorry.
And you know, Coach, there's no need to apologize. I was at that Rams game. And when those Jared Goff chants broke out, the fans reminded everybody in that building, or they let everybody in that building know who the quarterback was and is of the Detroit Lions in that game and right now. And I've never seen a chant like that break out. You almost get goosebumps just thinking about it. I mean, you even heard that in San Francisco when I was out at that game, and it was pretty amazing. He won over a number of people who weren't there, who weren't the ones that were believing in him right away. But there are still some who still question his ability. I think he proved it. Coach Campbell knows him super well. So does, general manager Brad Holmes. And again, it's exciting to see the fan base unite behind him and support the team the way it did. Ford Field got crazy. You can say that's another great storyline, is how much of a home field advantage Ford Field became this year. And the contributions we got from our rookie class this year, we would not have made it as far as we did without all those contributions. Look at Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch. Yeah, you can throw in Jack Campbell as well. I'm sure there's multiple other people I've missed. But just think about some of the record books that have got rewritten by Sam Laporta and the steal we got with Brian Branch and just everything all those guys contributed to.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's the best class around. I mean, got two of them up for rookie of the year on the same team. That's just amazing. Brian Branch, not sure why he wasn't enough for defensive rookie of the year. Not sure why he's not on that. Jack Campbell, he just kind of bounced around and did what he was asked to do. Again, we got to go back to the draft. You know, you read the negativity on the draft. You heard the negative. What are they doing? Oh, my God. Why are they taking a running back? Oh, God, they traded up. What do they need Campbell for? Oh, my God. Well, you know what? We got four more bodies to fit into that big puzzle we talked about, and they just fit in nice and tight. I think it was. I think the pieces are almost together in that big puzzle, and those guys are just phenomenal to walk in and do what they did. And again, the Detroit Lions staff took their time developing those guys in situations they need to be in, and they just kept growing and growing and growing. The big thing with Gibbs, talk about is you hate to see it. Bonnie had that injury, and Gibbs had to have all those extra carries. But man, did that pay dividends at the end of the year.
Oh, it did, man. They both complemented each other well and both played good roles and were able to stay fresh because of that as well. So you didn't have so much wear and tear on each of them. So yeah, undeniably, the rookie contributions played a huge role for the Detroit Lions this year. So coach, moving on from the rookie contributions, I want to talk about the SOL thought, the same old Lions. You brought it up how some people kind of thought maybe at some points during the season it could turn into the same old Lions, but they continue to prove time and time again that they're not. But, Coach, I know you had to have heard it after that NFC Championship game loss to San Francisco. I know I heard it. Some people said it was the same old Lions again. Did you hear that? And what's your reaction to that, or what did you hear?
Well, I stayed away from social media for about 4 or 5 days because I didn't want to get myself frustrated. I actually didn't even watch any of the NFL channels or any of that stuff either, just because I didn't want the negativity from certain individuals out there to ruin what I just experienced. And that's the greatest season the Lions have ever had. And so, you can say that. And again, we talked about it. There was, there was a fumble, there was drop passes, there was the punt that should have been on the half yard line. Brock Purdy running for 3 first downs. You can go on and on and on. Those are just things that happen within a game. You take that first half when we came out, I'd never seen a same old Lion team do what they did to a team in the first half. I mean, that was a total domination. And the whole thing with that, too, is it all comes down to, you look at that game, and I believe we won 56 minutes of the 60 minutes in that game. I think we lost a 4-minute stretch, and that cost us the game. Again, that 4-minute stretch and what cost us the game is a learning curve from young individuals trying to reach the ultimate height in a football, and that's winning the Super Bowl, or at least getting to the Super Bowl. So again, another life lesson learned, another thing that's going to be in their minds as they prepare during the off season. And so, I look forward to it. The SOL, toss it, man, it's gone. I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't, me, I'm pretty, pretty laid back about predicting things because I don't want to jinx us, but I just it's just not there. There's not enough to see it to believe it, and I can't wait. I can't wait for the next 175, 200 days or any of that stuff to read about what they're going on. It's going crazy. So and not the same old line. The team doesn't keep both of the defense coordinators, do they? And want a whole bunch of guys to keep that want to come back and want to stay and who put that in the thing. And I think you also pick up a great defensive line coach who was also an assistant head coach all within 3 days of losing a huge game. Not your same old Lions. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, coach, I couldn't agree more. I got to say to people saying it, first off, don't take the low-hanging fruit. That's the stuff that people who are uninformed will say only to get a reaction out of people. And I have a question to ask. If you are quick to throw that phrase out there, I've got to ask, did you watch any Detroit Lions games this season? And I got to ask, why are you so down on this group that you would want to throw that out there right away? I mean, you said it earlier. The Lions did not lose back-to-back games once. This season, they never had a losing streak. And so, if you've seen the trajectory of this team, if you've seen the change, if you've analyzed even just a little bit, that phrase, same old Lions, is done. These are not the same old Lions. They haven't been since Taylor Decker uttered those words a year and a half ago. And you know what? That's closing the chapter. That's closing the book. We're writing a new chapter in this franchise now. And so here's the question. The question is, what's next? I mean, the Lions are a young team. Like all franchises, they have a number of free agents they're going to need to make decisions on. Jared Goff has 1 year left on his contract. There's so many things in this arena to look at. Most are going to say the Lions need defensive line help, defensive back help. They need to bolster the offensive line. Those are probably the top three positions. But there's bound to be a number of variables. And beyond the players, there's likely to be some coaching changes. I mean, Coach, you already mentioned some of them. And the big thing is the offensive and defensive coordinators don't appear to be going anywhere. And Coach, I got to take a moment and have my victory lap here. I shared this with you off air, but back on December 28th, I told you about this. I sent a question into a couple of Lions beat writers. And I had this feeling that even though everybody was saying Ben Johnson was as good as gone when the season ended, I was like, I wasn't so sure that he would not be back. I was like, you know, is it a done deal? And well, here's the audio of them discussing my question.
Matthew Stolciak wants to know, it seems almost everyone thinks Ben Johnson is gone after this year. That's a done deal, but I'm not so sure. Your thoughts?
It sounds like some coping.
I don't mean to brag
on you, Matthew, but like that dude's the number one candidate for most teams out there. And I don't even like need inside sources in Carolina or those other teams to know that. I mean, Ben Johnson, there's enough proof that he's the real deal.
Yeah, he's going to have his pick of where he wants to go. There's no reason he's going to be back in Detroit next year, no matter how much Eminem tweets at him. he's been a joy to cover, a real pleasure. He's good at his job. He's extremely professional. I always love talking to him on Thursdays. He will also be in a new zip code come, you know, February.
So, Coach, I got to tell you, it feels good to have gotten that one right, especially the way they read it and had a little bit of fun with it. I do have to say, though, they were good sports about it when I connected with them after the news broke that Ben Johnson would be staying. I actually met one of them flying back or on the flight back from San Francisco, and he did say, you know, through the text messaging later on that it was a well-deserved victory lap for me. And I said, you know what? The good news is we all win. Ben Johnson is staying, and that's a big deal.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt, especially with his mind and what he can do. And again, that it all comes back to the home, to the house, to the family, you know, whichever way you want to call it, look at it. You know, this is a tight knit group that they don't want to disappoint each other with a win or a loss or a mistake, and they don't want to leave each other. And that's the sign of a good organization. And Ben Johnson's 37 years old. He's got a lot of coaching left out of him, but he also said, you know, I read through that. Him and his wife love living here and the kid, and he's got kids that are in school and they love the area. So that's just another kudos or another check mark on this. Isn't the same old Detroit. This is a great area for people to raise family in, and definitely a great area to cheer for NFL football teams.
Oh, for sure. We have definitely seen a change because, like you said, we have coaches staying. We have players wanting to stay. We're going to be attracting players that we didn't attract before. Coach, just this week, General Manager Brad Holmes had his season-ending press conference. And here's a message he has for the fans as we head into the offseason.
Just talking to the fans, I just want them to know that, you know, over the next few months, you know, don't get spooked this spring by speculation or negative talk or, you know, the entertainment news feed. Don't get spooked by that to not think that we can't build and sustain what we've been building. All right. Don't get spooked by that. And I totally get it. The next few months, it's a lot of speculation and it's a lot of opinions and people don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, I just hope that, but they know that every year we have not led them astray. Dan and myself, we've been very upfront and straight with everybody and say, look, again, every move is intentional. Every move that we make, again, every move we do not make is intentional, you know. And I'll even
go back to, you know, the past drafts that we've had, you know, every single pick, free agency, every signing, it is very intentional. So I don't want the fans' joy to be derailed. They should be proud of their football team because the fans have earned it and the fans deserve it. But, you know, and also I want them to know that over the next few months, every move that we make, it's to win in December. It's not to win March, April, and May, which it's easy to do. You can, if that's your aim, you can win headlines. You can win March, April, and May, but no, everything is intentional, and it may not look, it may look strange. It may look like, well, why did they do this? Why? Trust me, it is to win in December. And so that's why we made the moves that we have made. And look, the reality is this. Look, everyone can't play here, all right? Everyone can't play for the Detroit Lions. And that's just a reality. That's just the standard that has been set.
Coach, you and I did not need to hear General Manager Brad Holmes say that to convince us of anything. You and I have been behind the two of them, Holmes and Campbell, from the beginning, for a long time. And we've got the tape to prove it, folks. If you want to go back and listen to this about 350 days ago, we were on board this group's mentality and vision. And they were all about getting the right players. You and I both said that over and over again, getting the right players. And you know what? That's the thing. We're not caring about what grade Mel Kiper gives us in the draft. We're looking at what Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are coming up with to play, to put the right pieces on the board for this chess match.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You know, and here's one to think about. And probably the guy that took the most heat and got abused the most in social media all year is Sutton. Okay. Because, oh my God, he was out on an island. Sutton is not a number one corner. Okay. Now I'm not Sutton is a great two corner, a great, you know, slot corner. And we had we brought guys in to fill those roles in, and what did Sutton do, man? He's taking more heat than anybody. He just stepped over and said, "I got it," you know, and he got abused and he knew it in every game. But you know what? He would make a play, and then all of a sudden you'd see him make, you know, a bad player, he get beat, then he'd make a play. Then he get, you know, that's a guy that we want to keep around, because I guarantee he never complained or anything like that. He never came on social media and said, "Guys, quit picking on me. Leave me alone. I shouldn't be on the number one guys." And he faced some dudes. He faced some dudes the last 5 weeks. And so, you know, so that's the stuff that I see. Those are the things that Holmes and Cam are talking about, fitting pieces in into places where they need them fit in. And that's what they're going to do. You know, and so those are the things. You look at McNeil. Was McNeil what he was this year compared to last year? Oh my God, what'd he lose? 13% body fat. He had a great year. He's under the radar. That dude's a good D tackle. And so those are the things that you're seeing, and you're going to see more of it to the guys that are in camp, because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be moved out. And you're going to see guys outside of our camp calling up and going, "Pick me, pick me, pick me." And I can live with that. And so that's the stuff that I just love seeing.
I agree with all those thoughts, and builds anticipation for what's next. I mean, we're going to have free agency. We're going to have the draft, all that stuff. But, Coach, this is the season wrap-up. Coach, it's been an unforgettable season. I think our passion for this team was obvious to the listeners, and I greatly appreciate your insight that you brought from all your years of coaching and putting it into terms that even the casual fan could really understand. So thank you so much for all of that, Coach. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's been a blast not only doing this for the first time, but, man, did you pick a good season to do this.
yes, it all worked out. Like I go back to that phrase, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And when you work hard, those things intersect with each other, folks. And that is our wrap up for the 2023 season. Now, as I've said a few times, we don't know what the future holds, but thank you for coming along for the ride this year. And we sincerely hope that you had as much fun as we did this year. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at NotTheSameOldLions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.